Want to welcome you once again to the Music and Ministry Podcast. My name is Stephen Reed, and I get to be your host today as we dive into all of the things that it takes to lead worship successfully and to do it with excellence, really, because God is worth all of our attention, all of our effort, and if we're going to do something, let's do it well. And so today I'm going to talk about an interesting aspect of our ministry, which is I'm a bit of an odd bird in that I am a musician. I'm also very technical and run sound and record and do other things like that, but I've also done some pastoring. And so I was a youth pastor for a long time, served on pastoral staff. And so having been on all three sides of the worship leading equation, it has provided a lot of insight. And what we end up doing a lot as we go from churches and religious ministries or just people that write in and ask questions is we help each other understand where everybody else is coming from, because pastors think like pastors, worship leaders think like worship leaders, and you guessed it, sound people and tech people think like sound and tech people. And what can happen is that you can have, you know, things really working together and everybody bringing their gift and their supply, or because of their giftings being different and seeing an issue differently, that can sometimes be a weakness and cause a lot of tension. And we certainly have seen our fair share of tension in different ministries. And so today, just wanted to talk to you a little bit about how that works, especially when it comes to your tech people. So the first thing is what I've really just already shared, which is you need to know that your gifting changes the way that you see things. And that's not a bad thing, but it can be if you let it. In that, if you just don't let people see things the way they see it, let them bring that to the table, work with that perspective, help them see your perspective and not just squash them. And that goes for all sides of the table there. Because a lot of times we just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And then we try to manipulate each other with different games, so to speak, of, well, I'm going to do this. And then when he does that, I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. And there's a lot of that that goes on, which is unfortunate. So I know we're going by that quickly, but that cannot be understated just in gaining the perspective of the people that you're serving. What is the point of a worship service? Why does a pastor do the things that they do? Why does a worship leader want to do what they want to do? Well, all of those things factor in, and they're a big deal. We've covered it a little bit in some other episodes, and we'll probably keep covering it over and over again because it is such a big deal. So when it comes to each individual area, you know, when we start talking about the technical arts, it really is those two things. It's things that are technical and there's things that are artistic. Now, finding people who are both artistic and technical is kind of a rare bird as well. There's not a lot of people out there that do both well. And if they do it well, most of the time they're on the platform playing music of some sort. I often joke that most sound people in America were chosen because they'd been to Radio Shack more than once. And as funny as that might be, it's also probably true because they're just looking for somebody to, hey, can you make sense of all of these knobs and buttons that are on this board? Oh, okay, well, we'll stick you back there and they can at least make it work. Where the artist side of things, most of the time, they would know what to do with it if they knew how it worked. And most churches are filled with both people that can do technical things and people that are artistic. But again, it's hard to find somebody that is both and wants to be behind a soundboard. So that first of all brings up something that you need to think about is which one of those are my people that are on the tech team? You know, if you just think about them for a moment, you might realize, hey, we maybe have a little bit of a problem, because if they're only technical in an environment that requires quite a bit of artistic skill, well, then you're only getting half of the results of what you could be getting. You're also probably getting a lot of requests for new gear, new stuff, because their answer to fixing things will always come in the technical realm. And when you ask them, hey, why doesn't this sound good or what's going on? They will also give you a lot of technical answers and usually try to use big words, things that you may not even understand, because they live so much from that technical place. And again, that is not a bad thing. You need things to work and things to be figured out and things wired together. But that's only half the picture. The other part is the artist part. Well, what is kind of funny and maybe a little challenging is that people that are technical or people that are not artistic don't really know that they're not artistic. Especially when it comes to the realm of sound, if you can't tell the difference, then you don't think there is any difference. And I know that's kind of a make your brain hurt kind of moment, which takes me back to a phrase that we use a lot in our ministry and that the Lord gave us and said, people do what they think sounds good. And that directly applies to the mixing situation. People don't mix bad because they want to mix bad. They're doing their best, or if they're coming from a technical mindset, they'll be mixing from a technical thing. They'll be saying, well, this room really resonates this frequency, so I got to take this out of this deal. It doesn't sound so good right now, but it's better because of all of the blah, 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 technical. Well, they're not making artistic decisions. They're making technical decisions. Again, they may not even be able to tell that it could be better because to them, it sounds good. So that's where, in a lot of churches, if you get somebody who's a musician behind the soundboard, it's going to automatically sound different, partly because they're coming from that artistic standpoint. They may not be able to tell you what that knob does and why it should be that way or not be this way. They're just turning the knobs until it sounds good. And again, that position really demands to have both the artistic and the technical. So when you're looking for people on your team to fill that spot, again, it's going to be challenging to find them. And if you do find them, praise the Lord and send them candy every once in a while because you've just found something amazing. But for most churches and ministries, they're usually heavy on the tech side and light on the musician artist side of it. What we often tell people is to, instead of filling the position with one person, fill it with two or multiple people. So you find somebody who's artistic and is willing to be back there and run sound, and you just say, hey, we want you to kind of run the show here and tell us what we need to make louder or quieter, if we need it to sound brighter or darker or whatever terms it is that you're going to use. And then the technical person is the one who runs the actual gear. Now, in the recording world, that would be the producer is the artistic person, the person that's making all the decisions to say, hey, let's do the chorus one more time, or hey, maybe we need an acoustic guitar in here right now. And then there's the engineer. Now, that engineer is not making any of the decisions other than how am I going to get done what they want? And that's the person that's wiring up the soundboard, is bringing the microphone and doing all the technical stuff. And those two people work together. Again, it's separate skills that help you get the most out of each side, the artistic side and the technical side. So part of this is then, how do you get better? How do you approach this? Again, because people that are not super artistic don't know that it could be better, what ends up happening is when you say, hey, we want to get better, they become offended because, well, they don't like what I'm doing. I like it. They don't like it. Therefore, I'm mad at them. As petty as that sounds, it comes down to that a lot. So you have to approach it knowing that that is the case. You really have to get them into a place where they're looking to, hey, maybe we could get better. And that takes some skill and some finesse from you as a leader, helping them get in the right mindset. But again, if you can come at it from the right way, you can avoid some disasters. One of the best ways to help a mix get better is by practicing your mixing. Now, that seems like a strange idea because most sound people cannot practice unless the band is up there. You can't just get on your soundboard. Well, I guess you could. You could just be over it moving some knobs and adjusting some things, anticipating what maybe the band would do. But sound people need some sort of sound to come at them or through the soundboard in order for them to work. Now, one of the great things about modern technology is that we have the ability to record and then put the sound back in through your board, your soundboard. So you can do this just in a recording environment. Recording is really the way that sound people practice. So you can also do it on many of the new digital soundboards. You can take all of the channels out to an external computer and record them individually and then play those back through the soundboard like they were coming out live. So rather than your guitar player being up there and saying, hey, play that again, hey, play that again. Well, each time they play that again, which is probably going to be twice until they're bored with you and don't want to be there anymore, even both of those times, they're going to play it differently. So you are really, you know, trying to hone in on a moving target. Whereas when you record, it's the same. It's going to be the same the third time as it is the 17th time, as it is the 20th time. Now, this is a built-in feature for almost every digital soundboard. And so I would encourage you to figure out how your soundboard does that. Or if you can't do that because you have an analog board, dive into some simple recording, things like GarageBand. And then part of your weekly schedule or monthly schedule is you have a mix rehearsal and you record the service on Sunday and then you play that back and you have the worship leader out there with you. You have the sound person. Maybe even your pastor is out there with you, able to make comments of, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, this needs to be louder, that to be quieter. And then all of a sudden you start to have all these people be able to weigh in on their opinions and you get to find out what the sound person's opinion is. And if he's like, I think that sounds terrible and you think it sounds great, well, you've got to get somebody else helping that person to redefine what's good. Again, because if they're technical but not artistic, well, then maybe it would be a good idea to have somebody who's artistic in there or help them grow in their artistry. Well, I know that's a lot to think about, but I really believe that it's going to help a lot of churches out there just to find out and just to give some tips and tools to bring your vision to pass and what God has called you to do. Well, hey, if you have any specific questions about that topic or questions that you'd like answered on this podcast, please give us an email at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. And you can always visit our website at musicandministry.co. Well, until next week, have a fantastic time and God bless.